want to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobing, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. And now, today's message.
Establishment through holiness. Amen.
Let's take our confession. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen.
Let's continue our discussions on how we can be holy men and holy women of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And as we said, it's a continuum. Hallelujah. So what we are doing is a continuation of what we did on Wednesday. And I want to still invite you and encourage you to be a part of the teaching services on Wednesday. Hallelujah. Else you miss a big chunk of what God is trying to do in our lives. The times are not yours. Amen. Your time. Let me make some of these things. I've told you this time. We are in a season where we are making some of the, if you like, fundamental teachings of the Bible. And I pray that somebody will just understand and connect and be transformed. And be transformed. You see, when it comes to that tug of war that you and I sometimes engage in with the Spirit of the Lord, you will never come out a winner. Not against the Lord. You will never come out as a winner. And it's also part of the, if you like, should I use the, it's also part of the complex of the born-again experience. I mean, you see, the born-again experience, it is not just saying the sinner's prayer. No, you don't get born again like that. That's how I count a lot of people in church are. They just, some take tests. You go and write a test, sitting test. And then when you pass 80 over 100, you are born again. But you know you are not born again. You know you don't have peace. You know you are still struggling. You are still wondering if there's any power in the church, of what advantage is it to me if I get born again? Because you are not seeing anything. And that's why I always say that. It's the Spirit. If God doesn't conquer you at that place and you vacate the throne of your life, you'll never be born again. That's what I keep on saying about you will never be born again against your will and your wishes. You can say the prayer. And for many of us, that is where we are. One leg is here, one leg. I like the whole born again phenomena and everything that has been described. But God, you know, I'm mortal. I like this one too. I like this one. And I keep quote unquote, you know. And my senior told me some years ago when he heard that I had come to, immediately I came to the university, I had given my life. I said, can you leave that place? Because you get, he said, you become a queer person. If you become Christian, you become queer. You become weird. You don't smoke, you don't smoke, you don't curse, you are not profane, you are not fighting, you are not. So that's a weird life. Hallelujah. The interesting thing that is that he was using his junior brother. He said, you have gone. He said, my junior brother, his junior brother was in Calvary Road. And he said, have you seen how my junior brother has become? It's weird. You two become weird. It's every time, Shambhala, 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 Shambhala. And you're going to join them. Hallelujah. Amen. But God had conquered my will. Yeah, you have to go through that brokenness. And you fight him again. If you are still fighting him, you are not born again. Oh, hallelujah. Some people have been protesting, so that, oh, daddy, if you say we are not born again, man, no, I'm born again. No. But anytime I hear you, he says, I struggle. I find myself weeping. When I go to my room, I'm just weeping. I say, yes, that is the process. I say, yes, you are in the process. The doctors will tell you, if your baby is coming and the baby pulls his head and then you see his head, it doesn't mean that the baby is born. And that's it. So I told you, you have experienced stillbirth. Some of us, we have experienced stillbirth. We need the doctors to come and slap your back and get you and then get you some injections so that you can get up. Hallelujah. Amen. It must be full. Hallelujah. And when the Lord is able to break that will, amen, so that you make a full, unconditional surrender, you'll not enjoy the peace of God. You'll struggle. You say you are born again, but nobody sees it. Even you yourself, you know. Because it's not by power, it's not by might. By my spirit. Hallelujah. By my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And you must allow God to break you. So when you are in that phase, they are contesting. What is God going to make out of my life? I can't cheat again. Then how am I going to live? This is the way I've lived. Like a Kwekwanansi. Hallelujah. Worldly wise. They've taught us all these things. And they think that for survival, it's a survival of the fittest. It's a dog eat dog world. If you don't, you'll be left behind. And so we hear all those stories. But if you don't commit fully, you will never enter into it. Some of us have committed dead. There's a big trust. And we can tell you, it's not true. God is very, very much committed holistically to every aspect of your life. But you won't be able to enjoy it if there's one leg in, one leg out. And you can't redesign the born again experience for yourself. You can't. Like, remember what I keep on saying? You never approach a God or a deity on your own terms. He will reject you. He will reject you. So yes, we like the Christian principle when it's spelled, but then, I'll pick and choose. This one is good for me. This one is not good for me. This one, it will help my career. This one, it won't help my career. This one, it will help me in my pursuit of getting a wife, because I must marry. I must marry. So if anybody comes at all, the God will marry for me. No. So these are some of the naughty, naughty points where if we don't untie them, we don't get to experience the full power of God. And sooner than later, we give up. Hallelujah. That's why I'm saying we are encouraging you to come. Amen. Come. Come for the midweek services. Come. Every time you get opportunity to hear the word of God, something, some resistance breaks in your life. And then very sooner than later, it is God's way. Said it is He, both to will and to do His good pleasure in our lives. He will whet your appetite for it. He will woo you, help and break you, and get you surrendering. And when you surrender fully, you'll be amazed. Last Wednesday, we read the book of Peter from 1 Peter, his letter, 1 Peter 1:1-21. We'll read it again. Just for you to know, should I say, the pathway to holiness. Remember Peter? Amen. Every Christian knows about Peter. Hallelujah. Amen. And Peter was, if you like, if we should put it that way, once upon a time, just like you and I. Luke chapter 5 gives the conversion or the full expanded story of how Peter came to become a disciple of Jesus. And Dr. Luke makes us understand, hallelujah, that when Christ threw the invitation to come, the first thing that Peter told Jesus Christ was that, hey, I am a sinner. I am a fisherman. I am a profane man. You want to have an idea about Peter's life? Visit the or whatever seashore one day and go and just sit around and listen to the fishermen. Listen to them conversing. Very vulgar. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That was Peter for you. And after that extraordinary catch, and Jesus said, he first came and said, who are you? I've been here listening to you, borrowed my boat, and you preached. But there's something about it. And then afterwards, you reward me with a huge catch of fish. An extra, and after all night, we were not able to catch any fish. And then you just bid us. You said, just cast your net. And then we have this supernatural catch. Who are you? Depart from me. And Jesus said, come. And I'll make you a fisher of men. And the Bible says that somehow he was convinced and he abandoned everything and followed Jesus. You know how long Jesus and Peter followed Jesus? 3.5 years. We know the story of Peter. The ups and downs and all that. 3.5 years. Ask yourself, how long have you been born again? 3.5 years after that. 50 days after that. That was the day of Pentecost came. Hallelujah. After the crucifixion. 50 days afterwards, that's when the day of Pentecost came. And then the power of God came upon Peter and all the rest. Now begin to read the book of Acts. That profane fisherman, when he steps into town, there is an outcry. Peter is coming! Peter is here! He is in town! And then people will start going home. Where are the sick? Where are the maimed? Where are the blind? And then they pull them out and come and put them on the streets of Jerusalem. And they are praying that let this once upon a time profane fisherman now turn into a holy man. Let his shadow just fall on our sick. And they shall be made whole. Hallelujah. Amen. So as I said, we are talking about a pathway to holiness. In our past discourse, we have said, you can do it. Today, Pastor Ben preached a very wonderful, message during the tree service, giving the step-by-step, which is exactly what we keep on saying. It is doable. And that's why I'm highlighting the life of Peter. Before we read his letter, last Wednesday we read it, 1 Peter 1, 1 to 21. And he is teaching us how it can be done. Because he has been there. A profane fisherman, vulgar fisherman. Hallelujah. Are there some guns here? When the gunman is insulting you, you know the words they use. Hallelujah. I can't pronounce it. Hallelujah. When the gunman insults you, you feel like going to fight him. Hallelujah. That was Peter for you. Just imagine. And then the man says that Jesus asked me to follow him. 3.5 years later, during that 3.5 years, he was walking on water. He was walking on the sea. One day Jesus sent him to the sea, catch a fish, and he said, open the mouth. You get a gold coin there. Come and pay your tax and my tax. He saw all that. And he saw him being crucified. And he saw him rising up from the dead. rising up from the dead. He said, oh, so this thing about there being life after death is true. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live. And that's why we keep on saying the foundation, the same thing. The born-again experience will help you encounter the living Christ. Now, this cliched thing, this sorry, yeah, and go, it's not for fun. It is not for fun. Hallelujah. Amen. And now, like I said, this man, a once profane fisherman, had now become a holy man. A holy man. Such that, such reverence. He even raised a dead. Somebody died. Was it Dorcas? And the people said, can we send for Peter, a once upon a time profane fisherman? What a change. And this same Peter now came and raised this woman from the dead. And he's the one writing this letter, as I said, a pathway to holiness. What we can do for this call, this invitation to live holy lives. Can we go there? 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll read it again. And on Wednesday, come. Hallelujah. Amen. Come. Come for the teaching service. Come. Come. It will make you strong. I was telling you that the time is not yours. These are some of the, if you like, use the word sequelae and follow up of the born again experience. Born again, I said that I'm saying it, that your will has not been conquered. You have not been broken. Amen. So your time, you see it as your time. But if you realize it, when you are broken and you become the slave of God, anywhere that you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you to go, you will leave everything that you are doing and you will come. That is the secret of the Christian life. That is what tells the difference between those of us who keep coming for every meeting and those who don't come. You have not been broken. And that's what I'm saying. Then you won't experience the full power of the Lord. Amen. And the born again experience is such that if you don't fuel it and refuel it, it will decay. It will decay and sin will entangle you once again. And so there's a part of you that yearns for the life of God that he has purchased for us. And there's a part of you that just tells you, you can't, you can't, you can't. And when you try to churn up strength, it is not worked up by ourselves. You can't will it. I'll will myself, I'll lead the holy life. You are lying. You won't. Take the power of the Holy Spirit and your obedience and cooperation. So Peter was saying that he says, an apostle of Jesus to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The pilgrims. Was that what we read on Wednesday? Was this? Hallelujah. But I want the one that says the foreigners, so that you understand we are foreigners. Hallelujah. We are in this world, but we don't belong to the world. We don't belong. We have been chosen and set aside for God. So he said, I am writing to, yes, God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse 2. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. So Peter is standing and he's wondering, how did Jesus come? He says that they saw some fishermen, they had fished there, and there were two boats. There were two boats when Jesus needed them. How come that he came to my boat? And said, boy, can you borrow me your boat? Let me do some preaching exercise, and afterwards, we'll see. And he will be wondering, how come, cry, did I even yield and obey? And said, man, you can use my boat. I'm still just tired and just thinking through, wondering how I'm going to go home to the missus, because Peter was a married man. And today he said, no fish. No fish was caught. And then the Bible says that he gave it to Jesus. And Jesus came to sit, stand in. I don't know, maybe he sat. It's not very clear. But he preached. He preached. Hallelujah. Amen. And after the preaching exercise, he said, I want to reward you for being kind to me. I want to give you some fish. And he said, Master, I'm an experienced fisherman. I have caught the whole night. We caught nothing. Jesus said, launch out into it. Cast your net. Just do it. Hallelujah. And Peter was looking into the eyes. Like I always say, I believe he was reading through Jesus' eyes and Jesus was just whispering it. I believe that Peter heard him clear, loud and clear. I own the fishes, ma sitting in tataya. The seas are mine. Nala ma satakabaya. Rale is mine. Halemo sataya. I can command these fishes to enter into your nets. Just obey. Obedience. He said, at your word. At your word. Now the born again experience, when you do, you know that you are owned by God. You will know. He will bring you that knowledge, that information. That I'm not here on my own. Go to the hospital. The fresh air you and I stand here breathing. Some of them, they have to bottle it in a canister and put it in their noses. Hallelujah. Amen. And as they lie there, oh my God, my ass, like I always tell you, I worked in a unit where I saw death every day. Sometimes you can see the fear in their eyes. Doctor, can you just do something? I don't want to die. I'm not prepared to die. Can you help? And there are occasions where you can't do anything. And you just want to turn away. You wish you can help. It doesn't lie in your hands. You know. You don't have it. As a doctor, you know you don't have it in your power to bestow life. As every patient who comes to the hospital will not die. No doctor likes it for his patient to die. Sometimes you just wish you can do something heroic for them. But you look at them and you know the master. They are mine! All souls are mine! I determine when they can roam here on my earth. When they have to come home and face me. Hallelujah. Amen. So Peter, Male Mosai, obeyed. And that's the secret. Obedience. I listen to you preaching. I know that this is an extraordinary man. At your word, I'm going to cast my net. When the shoal of fish that they caught came and it dawned on him that this is a miraculous catch. This man. Jesus said, come, follow me. And despite himself, he abandoned it. Can you imagine Peter going home to go and meet Mrs. What was Peter saying? Simon Peter. Amen. God gave him Peter. So what was in the car? Where are the Bible scholars? I'm looking for Peter saying him. Come and tell me. Hallelujah. But people will say Simon Peter. So, okay. So he's going to meet Mrs. Peter. Hallelujah. And the missus says that when he came, he said, I quit fishing. You did what? How are we going to eat? How are we going to fend for ourselves? Said, I met a certain man, ma sitting in me hataya. They call him Jesus. He said, I should abandon fishing and come follow him and be a fisher of men. And you are going? No. That was not a man. That was not a man. As he preached, I could sense it. The whole place was saturated with the presence of God. The aura there was divine. I don't even know. All I found out, I was confessing to him that I am a sinner. Depart from me. And says he's going to purify me. He says, come follow me. I'm afraid. But I'm compelled. I'm compelled. So he abandoned everything. Now he sees Jesus rising from the dead. Saw him die. He saw him proofs. Jesus came, gave them proofs. There's life after death. There is life after death. It has not been a futile mission following me. And it will not be for us. If you are born again and you are genuinely, sincerely born again, like, you will know. It will not be a futile walk with God. It will not happen. How do you know? How do you get to know? Just following him. He says, go to church. You go to church. Read your Bible. You read it. And these truths will be distilled in your soul. And they'll fasten themselves. You will just know. You will just know. And you won't just walk around and live your life just anyhow. No. And if the qualification for chapter number 2, to live in eternity, remember what we say, that one life to live, 2 chapters. Chapter 1 year, a very short one. A very short one, at most 100 years. 120. I say that after 40, everything is going down. And what's your quality of life going to be? And you still want to live 140, 150, what will you be doing here on earth? They'll always carry you in a wheelchair. They'll push you in a wheelchair. They'll put pampers on you. You will be in the pampers. And you have nothing to do. Every day somebody, you rely on someone to come and change you. And then you, that life, what kind of life is that? But the gospel tells us that no. There's another chapter 2 that would open up when we exit. But it's not going to be for everybody. There will be judgment. Hallelujah. And to only those who are qualified. Why do you qualify? The life now. That's what qualifies us for the next life. So So is that all? You have to live for God. So the challenge and the call to live a holy life, it's unavoidable. Hallelujah. You can't negotiate it away. If you have the Holy Spirit, like I said, genuinely born again, you'll be sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And I keep on saying it, and it is very, very important. It is a very tumultuous event. You will know your soul has been invaded by a spirit being. A spirit being. If you like, you now know you are a two person. You are a two person. You know it. God will let convey these truths to you. You know that the old you is there and the new you has come. It's a spirit. And you hear voices. I'm not talking about all of you. You hear that Holy Spirit in you talking to you. Unlike the other one that he was doing, you lived and then you hear it. You say, I say, Bibia be see me so, Bibia be see me sooner. And you saw him and then you start screaming, wouldn't you? And then when you handed over your life, something much more sobering. Ma sete kata kabaya. Something peaceful. Salemo tata tahaya. Something holy. Holy appetites. They say they may jai. You even say it for long.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life. Join or visit us for our in-person family service at Harvest Chapel International, Dinyami Kumasi, close to Micklin Hotel and on the Sunset Road, this and every Sunday at 7 a.m. for our tea service, 8:30 a.m. for our Bible study, and 9 a.m. for our English service. You can also join us this and every Wednesday for our amazing midweek teaching service at 6 p.m. and on Fridays for our prayer solution service also at 6 p.m.